Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We are right here and now in America in 2017. Are you here today? Yeah. Some of you aren't, okay? And, you know, we had the Zambia boys here our second time, and I just love having those guys there from another culture, another world, and they're coming to America for the first time, and, where would you like to go? Kentucky Fried Chicken. that's their world. That's their world. We're in America. We're in America, 2017, and we're here and we're living in a day of affluence, a day that it's all about social things. It said in one of the articles I read, it said 21st century America, we are living in affluence that is unheard of in the history of the world. Modern technology has increased our comprehension of devices and design to the point where we can now create almost anything short of life itself. We are a society of things. Is that right? We're here. We're not in Africa. We're not in Zambia. And we are here. And we have to deal with materialism. We have to deal with this is it. We have a world that says happiness is gotten by materialism. Is that right? Things make you happy. And it doesn't. And we have, dreams of things, our treasure, our loves, our things we talk about all the time, things that we're passionate about, things that we, our hobbies and everything. These are, we're in a day of acquiring things. And it says, where your treasure is, what? There your heart will be also. So we got to examine where our treasure is and where our heart is. And that's so important to catch that. And that is so important in our time here. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Come and read it for us, young man. Where is he? There he is. Aren't they cool?
Starting in verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break nor steal. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we call? Or what shall we drink? Or where shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For heavenly Father knoweth that ye have not need all of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought on the things of itself. Sufficient to the day of the evil thereof.
Matthew chapter 6 here is so important. The issue is, where's your treasure? Where's your treasure? And we're going to go through Matthew 6, and I want to just keep that there because that is important. Where's your treasure? What's the concentration of your life? What is the preoccupation? What do you think about all the time? What is your life, the time planning things? Where does the energy go for dispensing towards a particular object? That's where your heart is. That's where your treasure is. It reveals it. And it's so important that we catch that. And just to say that true spirituality is shown mostly by how you handle materialism. Whether it handles you or whether you handle it. And so, where's your treasure? Where's your treasure? Where's your heart? Verse 21, Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. It says, where your treasure is, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And it's so important that where is it? Where is it? And there are only two treasures. There's only two treasures. Verse 24, it says, no No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one, catch the comparisons, or love the other, or else he will hold to, be devoted to the one, and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon in other translations is money, money, materialism. You just can't have, you know, worship things in heaven and on earth. You love one and hate the other. You'll be devoted one and despise the other. There are only two treasures. And our two treasures are heaven's God of truth. Verse 20 there, it says, store up treasures in heaven. Store up treasures in heaven. We're going to talk about that more next week and put some more definition to that. And then the second one is in verse 19. It's the earth's God of gold. It's the treasure. Store not up treasures on the earth. And we got to realize this can't be our heart throb, our desire. The Old Testament says, labor not to be rich. Is that right? It takes wings and what? Flies away. And it's very important that we realize, you know, what do we have here? I have heaven's treasures. I'm going to be there forever. I'm right here right now. It's hard to see past right now and the things we have. And one is selfless, heaven's treasures, and the other, earth, is selfish. One is truth. One is things. One is faith. One is folly. One is hope. One is, the other is holiness. One is no worry, and the other is all worry. Is that right? And that's where the whole text is coming. Earth's God of gold equals what? Worry, worry, worry. In these four verses, 32a, it just says, you know, this is what dominates unbelievers' lives. This is what that's all they think about. And then in 25, it says, don't worry about all this stuff. In 31, it says, don't worry about all this stuff. 34 says, don't worry about all of this stuff. And worry is something else. I've got one article here and it says, worry is America's favorite pastime. Is that true? You know. Do I have enough? You know. Do I have enough? What's going on? I'm not quite sure if that. Another is saying this: God, I know you mean well, but what you say, but I'm just not sure you can pull it off in my life. And another one is, worry, this is a good one. Worry is interest paid on trouble before it is due. Think about that. I think that's a good one. Worry is interest paid on trouble before it is due. Another one is, worry is faith in the negative. Like that. And it says, worry is faith in the negative, trust in the unpleasant, assurance of disaster, and belief in defeat. Worry is wasting today's time to clutter up tomorrow's opportunities with yesterday's troubles. And that's in your paper, so you got to read your paper, okay? Don't read it now. Worry is the illustration was given of fog. Isn't fog something else? Fog can just cover so much area, and you can't see it, and it's heavy, and it's just everywhere. One man did a study in Washington, D.C., and there was like 7 city blocks were under heavy, heavy fog, and they determined that the amount of moisture in those 7 city blocks of dense fog was 1 glass of water. And it says was divided into 60,000 million drops. And it just covered everything. It slowed down everything. It stopped everything. It crippled the entire city. That's what worry does to your life. Huh? And he says, don't do it. Don't do it. And it is an amazing thing. Worry is sinful man, is just selfishness. It's sinful man in selfishness, greed, and deceivable. Are we innately selfish? it just pricks at everything that's in us, and we're greedy. Are all of us greedy? You got to fight that. That we realize that I'm selfish, and I need to realize that that's not of God, that's of this world, and I'm greedy. I got to fight that. That's something you have to always fight. I don't think we think ourselves as deceivable. Are we easily deceivable in this issue? Let's all shake our heads. You know, we're deceivable. And that's something that we need to admit. That I'm selfish. If you give me half a chance, I'll be greedy. And I'm deceivable. So I got to be on guard. Do I have to be on guard just when I'm young? Do you have to be on guard when you're old? Yeah. You know, I have to be on guard. I'm selfish. If I let myself go, I want it all for me. I want it all my way. And I'm greedy. And I'm very deceivable. I want you to just think about that, because that's where worry, it's the source of worry. And we need to know, we never have enough, we're never satisfied, we're never in an area where we're content. And we have a whole world out there that is that. Do you meet satisfied people, content people? We're going to be talking about work next week and all of that. God gives us each differently, and we're never... Why don't we have enough, huh? That's what Matthew 6:16 says. Have enough. Have enough. And don't just there. Be satisfied. We got it all for good in America. Huh? We got it. We're the most wealthy set of people in world history. And we're never satisfied, we're never content, and we never have enough. Teenagers, children, you need to be satisfied with what your parents provide for you. Huh? Well, this person has... I don't care. Are you doubting God giving you what you need? We will all have different in that. Is that right? Every one of us different. Every one of us. And I'm going to talk about work next week. I have a great definition of work. And we need to be... Note that I'm selfish, I'm greedy, I'm deceivable, and if I'm not careful, I'll never have enough, I'll never be satisfied, I'll never be content, and you'll miss the joy of being a Christian. Simple. That's why this issue is so much. You know, the Lord says, hey, I'll take care of all those areas. You know, the basic commodities of life belong to the Lord's area. That's His worry. What are you worrying about? You know, that's the issue that's strong there. That you realize that, wow, that is, it's not, we're verse 27 over Matthew 6, verse 27. It says in the King James, it says, which of you by taking thought, worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? You know, we just had a boy here that's a foot taller than me. Okay. You ever try to stretch, you know? Get taller. The text is not mainly that. The text is, you by worrying can't add 1 second to your life. No matter how hard you worry, you can't do it. It's all God. And that's why worldly is worthless, and we need to understand that wow. True riches. Go to the next slide. True riches, verse 20 and 21. True riches. This is great stuff. It says, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Store them up there. And verse 21, it says, that's where you have it, and God has it, and true riches are there. He's rich in righteousness. He's rich in holiness. He's rich in good. And to know Him is to love Him, and to love Him is to fear Him, and to fear Him is to obey Him, and to obey Him is to serve Him, and to serve Him is to worship Him. To worship Him is to enjoy Him. Those are the greatest seven things in life. And if you get that and you say, that's what life's, that's true riches. Not what I have down here, but what I have up in heaven. And true riches is wonderful, wonderful. True riches makes me know God. And I push away this earthly stuff. And I want true riches of righteousness, truth, and obedience, and just enjoying Him and serving Him and knowing Him. It's tremendous there. And that is so, so important. Let me read to you Philippians chapter 4, verse. Turn with me to 1 Chronicles 29. Everybody turn to 1 Chronicles 29, verse 10. Powerful verses. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 10. I'm going to read to you Philippians. I'm going to read to you Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. And true treasure makes you know God. To know God is not to worry. Is that right? If I have true treasure, I get to know God. And if I know God, I don't worry. So if you're, well, how can I quit worrying? Know God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Let me read it to you. You're turning to 1 Chronicles in the Old Testament, 29:10. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, what? Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. To know God is to be worry-free. You can say amen. Because we worry all the time. We worry. It's one of our favorite pastimes. And it's so... You're in 1 Chronicles 29. Stay there. In Matthew chapter 6, it says, My brothers, look at the birds, verse 26, Matthew 6, 26. Look at the birds. They don't toil, they don't work, they don't plant, they don't harvest, they just eat. Does God provide all the fish? When we're in Florida, I got to see the birds every day. I mean, those pelicans. And then come up and you can see in their big chins, they have huge chins. You can see that big fish. And then he just swallows it whole. He goes, gulp. And all the birds, the little birds, they can see those little fish this big from 50 feet up. I said, wow. Now I'm going to talk about it next week. Do the birds work at eating their fish? Whoa, they do work. You ever watch a bird on a seashore? They work. But they don't worry. You know, they don't get up in the morning and say, where's my food coming from? It's all in the ocean. It's already there. The flowers. And, you know, look at the flowers. They're beautiful. They're better than all of Solomon, it says. They don't toil. They don't worry. And God takes care of them. Aren't you better than them? That's the issue. If you know God, you don't have to worry. You're better than the birds. If He takes care of the birds, is He going to take care of you? Yes. That's what I want you to get from the sermon this morning. You got to have full faith that the Almighty is going to take care of you, and we are more value. Oh, ye of little faith. Is that what it says? Oh, ye of little. No, it didn't say, oh, you of no faith. Isn't that great? Little. I don't pretend to have a large faith, but the little faith, they lacked faith just to trust God. And the birds, they trust God. And you're more about the flowers. They're just here for today, and they're beautiful, and they wilt for tomorrow. Huh? They don't last too long. They have a purpose. And if God has a purpose for them, He has a purpose for you. And if He can take care of them, He can take care of... That's all that those two illustrations there. See, do not worry. To not worry is to trust God. Verse 32b. Let me just read it to you here in Matthew 6. 32b. It says, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. That is a big statement. Is that right? Your heavenly Father, caretaker of all, knows you have these needs. And if he can take care of the birds, he can take care of you. He can take care of flowers, he can take care of you. Trust him. He knows. You know, my dad took care of my needs. As I was growing up, we didn't have too much, but we were happy and we were content. Is that right? And it was wonderful. And my dad took care of my needs. Is that right? My father. And he says, hey, your heavenly Father knows you have these needs. Trust him. That's the whole text of it. God is not only to trust him. God is your owner. God owns everything. Catch this. This is very important to trust God. He is the source of everything. He has the right of ownership. He's the supreme owner. He's the maker of everything. Psalm 24, verse 1, it says, the earth is the Lord's. Is that pretty plain? And the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Every person belongs to him. He's the owner of everything. Can you trust God with your house? We just had one of the families, I think from Northside and also from our AG or whatever, their house burnt down. When was that? Friday morning. We're talking of helping them. And wow. Does God own the house? Does God know all about your needs? When they have a need, then we can come along beside them and help them. Is that right? God knows. God knows. You know, God can take care of your car. God can take care of your house. God can take care of your kids. Is that right? That's the source. He's the owner. He's the creator. He's God. He's also the controller. I trust everybody's in 1 Chronicles 29. This is a great text. This is a text you need to write down and read this week. All these verses here I'm giving you are in our reading for this week, in your reading in the back of your bulletin. Please do that for next Sunday. The more you put into this, the more you'll get out of it, of mastering materialism. God not only is the owner, he's the controller. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 10. Everybody look at it. Everybody, teenagers, children, everybody look at it. This is great. The Word of God. Wherefore, David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, here it is, David, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our father, my dad, our fathers, forever and what? And ever. Period. Okay. Thine, verse 11, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and all the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Does he own and control everything? He's God. Verse 12, everybody look at it. Both riches and honor, respect, come of thee. You give me wealth. You're the one. And thou reignest over all. You're the king. And in thy hand is power and might. And in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Does God know where you're at? Has God put you where you are, you're at? Has God given you the ability to do what you have? He has. He's God. You can trust him. That's it. Either you're going to worry or trust him. And he says, trust me, trust me. Verse 13, now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. I trust you have the God of 1 Chronicles 29, 10 to 13, because he controls all, he owns all. And lastly, he's the giver of all. He's the giver. What do you have that you haven't been given by God? And the text there, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Everybody, everybody, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Deuteronomy 8, 18a says, thou art... But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee the power to get wealth. Huh? You know, who gave you your ability to work? Who gave you the talent to figure out? Who gave you the intellect? Who gave you the gifts? Is that right? Everything you have is from God. When he passed out to me, he forgot some intelligence. Let me tell you, God makes no mistakes. Is that right? Are we all different? We're all different. We're all different. And he says, I'm the giver. I made you just like you are. And we all have different personalities. We all have different abilities. Some work with our hands. Some work with our minds. Some work with our lives. Is that right? And so we need to know that, man, I don't have to worry because I can trust God. He's the owner. He's the controller. He's the giver of everything. I'm the receiver. I'm the manager. I'm the steward of what he's given me. And he's the source. And I'm just trusting him. And I don't have to worry. Why worry? Trust God. He's the owner, the controller, the giver of all things. And to be able to trust God, I trust you in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. To trust God is to be content. Let me just read you Philippians chapter 4, verse. We're doing this tonight. You got to come tonight. We're going through Philippians 4. We've already had, this is our second text in Philippians 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, it says, not that I was ever in need, for I've learned, we're going to learn that tonight, how to be content. You have to learn to be content with whatever I have. Teenagers, very important. I know how to live on almost nothing. Preacher, I'm there. Well, be content. And or with everything. Wow. I'd like to be there. No, be content. It says, I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. Here's the secret. For I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth. Whoa. To trust God is to be content. It's awesome there. And to realize, God, you're God. To live content is to keep seeking truth treasures. That's the last point. To live content. That's the key of life. You know, truth is the treasure. To have that as my treasure, my Bible, truth, I get to know God. And since I know God, I don't have to worry. And since I don't worry, I can trust Him. And since I can trust Him, I can be content. Is that right? And if I work at living content, I can just keep seeking truth, the true treasures, not earth treasures. That's the circle that comes around. Verse 24 of Matthew 6, you're right there in 1 Timothy, because 1 Timothy's coming up right in a minute. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, very famous part there, it says this, it says, you cannot serve two masters, for you either hate the one or love the other, or you are devoted to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and money. You can't. And you've got to live content. And then verse 33, very famous verse, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Is that right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Don't you know that your Father knows what you need? Trust Him and then be content. Well, this person has this. No. If you would compare yourself to any part of the world, every person in this auditorium is a wealthy person. And if you're a Christian, you are rich because you got a Father in heaven. See, that's the key. That's the key. That's, I can be content. I don't have to worry. I can be content. I can trust God. I just got to keep my treasures true. And God can help me. And it's wonderful. 1 Timothy, and I close. 1 Timothy. Chapter 6, verse 17. 1 Timothy 6, 17. Charge them that are rich. This is kind of a summary of everything of Matthew 6. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, proud, nor trust in uncertain, unreliable riches. Do riches last? Hey, you can't count on them. Don't trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Wow. Who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. We're going to get to that. God gave you everything you have to enjoy. Many people in the Bible were wealthy. The issue is not being wealthy, but what you do with what God has given you. And as next Sunday, each of us should work to have enough to provide for our families. Is that right? That's what it says. And then to have enough left over so I can bless other people. That's the purpose of work. Don't get me on work. I'm going to preach it. You've got to come next Sunday. You've got to come. It says, gives us richly. He's the Father. He's the giver. All things to enjoy. I read the whole book that when I was in Florida, I read the whole book of Ecclesiastes. I'm going to tell you what it says. What have you got? Nothing lasts, but what have you got? What? Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Be content. Trust God. Don't worry. Keep your mind on heavenly things, true treasures. Verse 18, that they do good, okay? That's each of us. If you think it's talking to other rich people, I want you to know every person in America qualifies in 1 Timothy 6:17. Is that right? Okay. That they do good, righteousness, holiness, goodness, kindness, people interest, non-selfish things. Come on, do good. That they be rich, rich in good works. You've got a rich Father. It's going to give you heaven forever. And it's got a plan for your life now. So be rich in good works, ready to distribute. That's our third message. Willing to communicate. The word communicate there in the King James. It's willing to be generous. Okay. Laying up, almost like Matthew 6:19-20, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come in heaven, that they may lay hold on eternal life, that you might figure out how to live for God and be happy and content and have the issues of trusting God and not worrying. It says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. That is heavy thing. It says, hey, rich kids. Look at this one. Next slide. Hey, rich kids. It's Christians. Of the King. Are you rich kids of the King? Huh? Come on. Live wealthy. Now, I'm not talking about earthly treasures. I'm talking about heavenly treasures. Don't worry. Major on true treasures. Trust God. Come on. Come on. God's got this. Someone coming this morning said there was a terrible accident right in front of my house coming to church. Car was on its top and everything, just a mess there. My thought, Krista was coming, and I said, wow, hope Chris, what color was the car? They said, blue. I said, oh, black, dark blue. I said, oh, good. Do I have to trust God? Trust God? Is God in charge? Whether good or bad, God's in charge. And that's so important. I got to trust Him. I can't worry. I got to trust Him. If I worry, I'm not trusting Him. And then if I can trust Him, I can live content. And I'm rich. I'm rich. And it says, hey, kids, the kingdom, live wealthy in God's riches and enjoy it every day and get on your way to heaven. Huh? And that's to lay a hold of eternal life. We're going to close with this song. Put this song up. You want me to sing it to you? It says, you are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure. You are the treasure. Not down here. You are the treasure. That knowing you and worshiping you and serving you and loving you, you are the treasure that I seek. You are all. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Live this prayer. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame. Aren't you glad you're saved? If you're not saved here this morning, my goodness, talk to somebody sitting right beside of you. Talk to me before you leave. Talk to Pastor Kyle before you leave. Talk to anybody. You need to know He's the one that took my sins. He's the one that took my cross. He's the one that took my shame. I'm on my way to heaven because of Him. If you don't know that, talk to anybody. everybody around you. That's most important. Rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you what? You pick me up. You can trust him. When I am dry, you fill my cup. Hope you experience that. Huh? That's what it's all about. You are my all in all. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, help each of us, first of all, to know we're saved. Lord, if somebody here doesn't know they're saved, Lord, help them not to leave. Help them to stop and ask somebody, how can I know I can be saved right now? Because they can. Because he is the one that takes our sin, takes our cross, takes our shame, saves us, forgives us, makes us ready for heaven. Lord, help that to be real in every person's here. And Lord, if it's not, help them to talk to somebody. Oh, don't let them leave without finding Jesus. Lord, help each of us to fill up on true treasures, to know God, and to know God is to not to worry, and to not to worry is to trust God, and to trust God is to be content and to live content. We just keep filling up on true treasures, and it makes the circle of Christian growth, which leads to joy and peace and the joy of living for Jesus. Lord, help us to know the foundation of the worrying about materialism is just knowing you, trusting you, and being content in you, and just having truth treasures flying all around our lives. Keep us from earthly treasures, loving that, because where our heart is, there our treasure is also. And Lord, make our heart in you. Lord, you are my all in all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.